I'm Peter Solomon. This is the morning show on Minnesota's Jazz Station 88.5. Trombonist Delfio Marsalis. He is the younger brother of Winton and Branford Marsalis. Will be featured as a guest soloist with the Jasmine Orchestra this Sunday in two performances, one at 4 p.m. and one at 7 p.m. I caught up with Delfio recently. We talked about that upcoming gig and about his recent recording called Crescent City Jewels. I started our conversation, though, by asking him how he happened to pick up his chosen instrument of trombone.
Yeah, I picked up trombone because that was basically what was left. My dad played piano, you know, Branford saxophone, Winton trumpet. I tried the electric bass and the drums. At the time, my dad wouldn't allow drums in the house. I saw the trombone. I said, this must be for me. It was as simple as that.
So I know that early on, you started kind of working behind the scenes as a producer. You were 17 when you started producing albums. Can you talk about why you're attracted to production and like your approach to that art and how it might have changed since that time?
Yeah, I started early on, and again, it was just kind of being in the right place at the right time. In the household, there was a need for somebody to press the red button on a tape recorder. There was a need for like demo tapes or audition tapes, and I was there. And, you know, I would say Winton was a great motivator, and he would play recordings by a guy named Maurice André. Maurice André was the greatest classical virtuoso trumpeter before Winton. And Maurice André had these great sounding records. So the question was posed when I was in the sixth or seventh grade, why the recordings that I made on my Radio Shack realistic tape recorder didn't sound as good as these Maurice André records. You know, and I didn't know anything at all about high-end microphones, about acoustics, about reverb, but I'm at home in New Orleans on Hickory Street trying to figure out how can I get these recordings to sound like this record. So it caused me to do a lot of experimentation, and you know, I worked out that the kitchen was the room that recorded the best in the house, but my mom wouldn't let me in the kitchen to record there. So that was how the journey began, and it's been a lifelong pursuit to get the perfect sound, and we haven't achieved it as of yet, but we're still hoping.
Before we get to your new album, I also wanted to ask you about a project that you founded in 2000, the Uptown Music Theater. Can you talk about what led you to start that and what you've done with that organization?
Sure. I worked for the Dallas Opera a number of years before that. Well, it started with a program called Meet the Composer. So actually in 93, I composed for a school in Washington, D.C. Through that, I met up with folks at the Dallas Opera. They wanted me to talk to the youngsters in the Dallas schools about opera. And from that, I started working on an opera, which would end up becoming a kids' musical. That musical was performed in New Orleans by a group. And the students from that organization kept calling me, asking me to start my own musical theater program. So that was literally how it happened. So after 3 years, I just said, man, let me go ahead so these kids will stop calling me. And we started the Uptown Music Theater. And this was back before Facebook and before American Idol. And, you know, there were no outlets. So we kept the Uptown Music Theater going. And we've worked with a number of kids over the years. Two of them have ended up on Broadway. And, you know, taught two students, went to Juilliard. So we've had some successes, and you know, it's just a great program and really a family environment, and the kids have gone to competitions and placed highly, so it's been a great experience.
Now I'm going to focus on your new recording. It's called Crescent City Jewels. The liner notes for your album reference a conversation you had with the great drummer Max Roach. Can you talk about what it was he said to you that provided some of the inspiration behind making this album?
Well, Max Roach was one of our great civic-minded leaders, in addition to being a drummer. And at the time, I had no real understanding of who he was, other than he was this great drummer. He played with Clifford Brown and all these other people. But I was fortunate to be around him for a number of months. At any rate, in this conversation, there was a discussion about Michael Jordan. Maybe it was ESPN. We were somewhere at a restaurant and they were showing Michael Jordan. And he said to me that, you know, the media focuses on certain individuals. And they say, these are the great people. He said, but I see greatness all around me. He's like, man, greatness can be in the teachers that's teaching at school all day, or the bus driver, the garbage man that gets up at 5 a.m. And he says, all of these people are extremely important in our society. So he made me, I hadn't really thought of it in those terms until he pointed that out. But that was the thing. The thing is that, you know, we're always looking in other places for great things, when a lot of times, especially here in New Orleans, man, there's great things all around us. And some of the great music that has come out of New Orleans has been a product of that. It's been a product of something that you wouldn't suspect. You know, guys hanging out on the corner, you know, whatever the way that they're talking, and that ends up coming into the song. In fact, one of the songs that we perform, Ooh Pooh Padoo, is a prime example of that. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where would that even come up, Ooh Pooh Padoo? Where does that even come up, you know? So, it's the idea of celebrating the greatness that's all around us all of the time.
Now, that mention of Ooh Pooh Padoo, that brings to mind some of these great artists that you've celebrated on this new recording. The vocalist that delivers the very unusual lyrics on that song is Kermit Ruffins. Can you talk about what you appreciate about Ruffins and, you know, what made you choose that particular song for him?
Oh, yeah! I'm going to tell you about Ooh Pooh Padoo.
Kermit's this very unique individual, and not a lot of people can pull that song off, you know. And I think that the direction that the music is going now, it's more school-based. So we have a lot of people who are learning music in school, and that's, you can't learn that particular thing in the school. There's different things, and I grew up studying classical music, so I appreciate the opera, and I appreciate, you know, great vocal styling. But man, when you hear something like that, it just hits you a certain kind of way.
And I won't stop trying to activate disturbance in your mind.
It was originally intended for Duvall Crawford, but it was in the key was too high. Duvall, he doesn't want to sing those kinds of songs anymore. So we recorded the track, and Duvall came in and he said, sang one phrase and said, I'm not gonna do it. And I said, well, what do you mean you're not gonna do it? I don't feel like doing it. I said, okay, man. Okay, well, called Kermit Ruffins. I knew Kermit would do it. In fact, as it turns out, Kermit used to hang out with Jesse Hill, who wrote the song. He said when he was in his 20s, he would saw Jesse Hill would be on the corner just singing his songs. And that's how Kermit learned it. Kermit, he learned how, and the song is in E. We played it in E flat. It's down a step, down a half step. But when Kermit first started singing, he actually was singing it in E because he had listened to it. He knew it so well. We had to say, no, man, we got to move it down.
It's a funny lyric, create a disturbance in your mind. And I read that, like, it's been covered by, like, so many artists, from Freddie Fender to Ike and Tina Turner, and it's just an unusual song.
I mean, it's brilliant. It's like, I'm going to create I'm going to create a disturbance in your mind. It's like, who even would think of that? And then on the heels of Ooh Pooh Padoo, it's like, what kind of, that's the thing about New Orleans. That's the prime example of a Crescent City Jewel. Right there, just those lyrics alone. It's like, man, and then the joyousness, the joyous quality of the song. It's like, that's a Crescent City, if nothing else, for sure. That's the true Crescent City Jewel right there.
Mason Street is the street where the elite always meet down in New Orleans. The land of dreams, you'll never know how nice it seems or just how much it really means. Glad to be.
You mentioned Davell Crawford a moment ago, and of course he's featured on vocals, and he's also known as being this brilliant piano player in the tradition of James Booker and others that you mentioned in your liner notes. Talk about his contributions to the recordings, if you will.
Yeah, Davell is a true musician, and what I miss now, so the time that I spent earlier in my, I guess to say, career, when I was hanging out with Branford's band and Winton's band, and some of the folks in New York, what I miss is like those guys have such a unique outlook on things. And to be able to perform with folks on that level is very important because of what they contribute. Like, you know, we think about, for example, Miles Davis's quintet or John Coltrane's quartet, but it's the musicians, and there's things that musicians contribute. It may be a real simple suggestion. That's what makes it happen. So sometimes we think of you know, the leader and this and that as being the person. And of course, when you're leading, you have to pull these things together. But saying that, say, Davell Crawford can come in and he'll listen. And if there's something that's not right, then he'll be able to identify it, you know. And that's just a really important, like Branford has that quality. A lot of, you know, Bob Hurst, I could name lots of musicians who come in and they hear it and they give you a perspective, they gave me a perspective that I hadn't considered. So on this recording, whenever I'm playing anything that's New Orleans based, I like to have Davell playing the piano, especially because not only of his unique understanding of New Orleans piano, but I could also say, man, look, I want something to sound more modern here. And then, modern, what? Modern like what? I said, you know, you have the rhythm going, but put some chords that's gonna be, just have a different kind of a harmonic quality. And then he'll complain and I don't feel like, but then he would work it out. Say, okay, well, do it again. At any rate, yeah, Davell he's one of the great musicians, and I'm hoping to do more with him in the future.
That kind of melding of modern techniques with traditional rootsy sounds, I think that's especially evident on the arrangement of Joe Henderson's Blues Inner Urge. I mean, it's very unusual because it starts out with this kind of very New Orleans feel, and then it's kind of transitioning into something that sounds a little bit more in the style of what Henderson might have played.
Yeah, that's so. You know, my goal at this point, from an audience standpoint of view, is to make sure that the audience has the best possible musical experience whenever they show up at one of my shows. And what was lacking in our Uptown Jazz Orchestra performances was kind of more of the modern element. I grew up wanting to play the modern, like my first couple of CDs, Pontius Pilate's Decision, all what we would consider, you know, modern, minor key songs, vamps and different things. But over the years, living here in New Orleans, we moved more toward the brass band sound and the New Orleans polyphony. And I just realized we were doing gigs and I said, man, we need something modern. We need, you know, and we decided that we would add this, and this arrangement was expertly crafted by Rich DeRosa, who is on the faculty at North Texas State. And we worked on it and, you know, we talked a little bit about how we wanted it to begin. And I said, yeah, I want something that's similar to the New Orleans polyphony, but in a modern context. And then he did the arrangement, we played it. And at the ending, I said, nah, man, we need a shout chorus, but not the typical shout chorus. I said, so why don't we keep the polyphony going for the shout chorus? So at any rate, we worked together to craft it, but he did all the work Rich DeRosa. So, but that's the idea, is that we're going to incorporate more modern songs like this into the repertoire.
I wanted to talk to you about one of the vocalists on the album, because she's featured on several tunes, Tanya Boyd Cannon. Can you tell me about her a little bit?
Yeah, Tanya, I met actually, there was a funeral, and Tanya Boyd Cannon is at the organ, and she's playing organ and singing. And I'm like, who even is this person? What, you know, I thought I was being punked or something. Like, what's going on here?
Praying each night for someone well exactly like you. Why should we spend all of our money?
And that's when I met her, and I just said, we're going to find something for you to do. So we've incorporated her. She's been part of the band for about the past 6 years, six, 7 years, I would imagine. She's more of an R&B and a gospel singer. So what we wanted to do was to showcase the jazz that she's been working on, you know, some of the Nancy Wilson and Sarah Vaughan. So that was the main idea, is to showcase her.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me.
I listened to this album a few different ways with headphones and on my phone, and I noticed that even on my crappy Android phone, that the recording has a kind of presence. Like you can, it's almost like you can hear the room. Something about the way it's mixed. is that something you think about as you're putting it together, or am I off base?
No, that goes back to the 80s or the 70s, whenever I first started. You know, it goes back that long of me thinking about how to get Maurice Andre records, the sound on these recordings at home. And it's just something that I've always considered. See, the challenge that a lot of the jazz guys today have is that everybody is isolated in booths. And they do that to get the perfect sound. And, you know, audiences are not interested in the perfect sound. Audiences are interested in the experience. So a lot of guys play. I had a guy tell me, he said, man, I realized that I've made four of the same record. But he was saying when he listened back at his records, he's like, it's like the same thing. It's like the same kind of songs. It's the same kind of sound. And what we always try to do is, especially with you got the jazz orchestra, is that room sound is very important. It's important. So we record in the same room. There's challenges to that. So you can't fix every little thing, and every note is not going to be a certain kind of way. But we find that it's a greater experience. A lot of times you hear people talk about the old records. Man, the old records have flaws, but the positive outweigh the flaws. And that's what we're trying to get to, that point where we can just record and give the people a good representation of how it actually sounds. So yes, is the answer to your question.
Yeah. Change the focus now to talk about your upcoming appearance with the Jazzmen Orchestra. Can you talk about what you're going to be performing when you're at the Dakota on Sunday?
Sure. Well, they wanted to perform kind of the Uptown repertoire, so we'll play some of these songs. We're going to play Inner Urge, the song that I composed, Basie Moods. So it'll be a nice range of things, but also some New Orleans tunes, Snowball, which I believe we played on Jazz Party. Blackbird Special, the song that I wrote for Roy Hargrove called Dr. Hargrove, and then one for Nelson Mandela called Dream on Robin. So it'll be a wide range of songs, but mostly from the book of Uptown Jazz Orchestra. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think it's a great way for the guys that don't live in New Orleans to get that experience of really playing the New Orleans tunes. And Fats Domino, we're going to play I'm Walking. So looking forward to that.
Delphio, it's been a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you have a great concert on Sunday night.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, and I'll catch you later.
Trombonist, composer, and arranger, and band leader, Delphio Marsalis. He'll be featured with the Jasmine Orchestra in two sets at the Dakota this Sunday evening, the 22nd. The first at 4 p.m. and the second at 7 p.m. Find more information on those performances at DakotaCooks.com. Marsalis' recent album is called Crescent City Jewels. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.